You're listening to highlights from OTB AM, Off the Ball's new daily breakfast show. It's live every weekday morning from 7:45. Watch us on Facebook, YouTube or Twitter, or listen live at offtheball.com.
Speaking of losing the run of themselves, this is Conor McGregor at the Three Arena on Saturday night. Have a look at this.
It's all over! Just like that, Charlie Ward!
He was cut, he was hurt, and man, he uncorked a shot that dropped Redmond. Seconds left to go in the round.
And look who's in to celebrate with him. The Notorious One!
Wow, Conor McGregor trying to go at the referee. I don't know what's going on here.
So that's the official footage from the Bellator camp. It was a Bellator co-promotion with Bama. The referee in question, Mark Goddard, was the referee who'd actually told McGregor to shut up and sit down during the Artem Lobov fight. So there was a bit of previous between them. Generally, something like this happens, right? The promotion themselves actually made a big play of the fact that McGregor was here, because that happens and then it's on TV an hour and a half later on. So they clipped it, sent it around the world and made sure that everybody was watching the TV show. You kind of feel like they're just riding the publicity wave here. But actually, it turns out that you can't push a referee in UFC. Here's Dana White talking about somebody who did push a referee in 2014, I think, 2015.
I didn't even see it. I heard that he put his hands on the referee. Done. I didn't think about it. I didn't ask anybody. As soon as I heard he put his hands on a referee, he's done. You touch the referee, you're done. Over. That's actually worse than what Daly did to Koscheck, and he punched him in the face. But they're fighters. You don't put your hands on a referee, ever. You don't do it. I don't care how mad you are, I don't care how upset you are, I don't care if you were. You know, you're going to have those situations where a guy's out and we see the guy single leg or take a ref down because he's, you know, completely different. What this kid did was you don't touch a referee ever. Unforgivable. Never come back, ever. Ever.
And true enough, the guy got cut from the UFC. He got banned for a year and cut from the UFC. Now, obviously, we're not entirely au fait with how the UFC works when it comes to this kind of stuff. But there's a tradition of fairly stern punishments anytime anybody lays a hand on a referee. And the assumption being here was it's not actually a UFC promotion. Conor McGregor, it's in Ireland. It's a private thing between. But actually, the thing is that there's no commission in Ireland. So the commissioner who was overseeing the Bama event is from the Mohegan Commission, and he's very high profile, very powerful dude. And so if he suspends McGregor, the likelihood is that all of the other commissions around the world, because that's kind of how it works, will have to back him up and say, okay, we accept the fact that you're within your rights to do this and we ratify your suspension, which would be New York, California, Vegas, the Nevada Commission. And if it's the Nevada Commission, then it's combat sports, and there's a possibility that this might also knock him out for boxing. So it's not nothing, and the sport of UFC in particular now has a fairly heavy, high wattage attention on it about whether or not you're actually going to be able to ban him. Let's have a look. This is Luke Thomas from SB Nation, and he's actually broken down the ramifications in a much more astute way than I have just done.
You can say, well, it happened in Ireland. What difference does it make? It actually makes a bit of a difference. This was regulated by Mike Mazzulli of the Mohegan, well, not just by himself, but he is the head of the Mohegan Commission. You might know them from the Mohegan Sun Arena out in Uncasville, Connecticut. A respected gentleman and a respected commission. And Mazzulli is also the head of the Association of Boxing Commissions. So that creates a bit of a problem for McGregor. The issue is as follows. If he is handed a suspension of any kind, typically, even though the Mohegan Commission is not a state commission, it is a respected commission, and the other state commissions could very well reflexively adopt that suspension. So California could adopt it, New Jersey could adopt it, Nevada could adopt it, whoever they want could adopt it, so that anywhere he wanted to fight within the confines of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, he would likely be prevented from doing so. That could include, by the way, not just MMA, but boxing as well. And on the scale of bad actions in the course of touching officiating, totally without merit, this is one of the worst ones I've seen in some time. It's not necessarily the all-time worst, but it's not great. Certainly you would think the range of acceptable punishments or probable ones, I don't know that 9 months to a year is somehow out of the question. It just really depends on what these commissions want to do.
It does, but it also depends on how much money they can make without Conor McGregor. So,
well, that's the point. To expect that there will not be double standards here is absolute lunacy. Of course there's going to be double standards here. The very interesting element of this is the relationship between Bellator and the UFC, because Conor McGregor is clearly very much a UFC product. Do Bellator look on him with some sort of element of jealousy? How do Bellator view Conor McGregor is what I'm interested in. I don't know. Maybe it's well documented how Bellator view Conor McGregor, but I'd be very interested in that, because ultimately it's up to them initially to give a report to the governing body of the sport on a worldwide basis, potentially the IMMAF, and then that goes on to whatever the global authority is. I don't know what the process is, but I presume Bellator will be very much involved in the first step in this, and the UFC won't be anywhere near it. Like, we saw Dana White speaking there in a Conor McGregor t-shirt. Like, if it was at a UFC event, I'd be very confident that McGregor would get off here scot-free. But it's not UFC. He's not in his home patch anymore, despite the fact that it was in his own city, which is the irony of this all.
All right. I've just been reliably informed that Copenhagen Lollipop has made its way back from Copenhagen from Team Off The Ball, who were sent out to watch the match, do some commentary and bring back some videos. So, okay, I apologise to all of them for not bringing the stuff back. A fair point there about McGregor. We'll wait and see how that plays out, but it certainly will be a lot of attention on that one. He has to get a ban. He's losing the plot 1 year minimum, says MHOOP01 on Periscope. Thanks very much for that. Let's do the papers.
Yeah, let's start with the Irish Independent. On the back page, it is Martin and Roy. One more step to take, it says. The sad truth is that the criticism of the Irish manager has a ritual quality about it, like some ancient folk tradition being enacted from force of habit. That is a quote from Eamon Sweeney's page, or from Eamon Sweeney's piece, which is quoted on the back page. And you've also got Box Clever, Young Gun provide hope for future, and Testing Times, Adelaide defeat leaves Ireland on the back foot. That is, of course, with regards to the international rules. The first leg took place yesterday, Ireland down 10 points.
We'll get into this a bit more later on when Luke Edwards gets here, but there is now a sense that actually international football means more to the vast majority of people than watching your Premier League team, unless you happen to be a supporter of the Premier League team who has all the money. And I don't know, I much prefer watching crappy international football where there's something on the line than watching Man City against Stoke or Man City against West Brom, where I know what the result is going to be because Man City are producing some of the greatest football that we've ever seen. And yet, at the same time, it's bloodless. It's like there's no sense of, it's pristine. It's clinical. I don't like this representation of Ireland. That's who we are. That's we're this pudgy little race at the edge of Europe who, you know, occasionally get in a fight, pick a fight, fight the opponent to a draw, and go home happy.
Yeah, well, like that's because the majority of people in this country support teams that they don't live within a couple of miles of. Like, is it that to do with nationality, the sense of identity that this team represents?
Well, I think the Premier League is dead as a product. And I'll definitely talk about this a bit more. My theory in this is that, like, how interesting is it? Like, you're an Arsenal fan, right? I mean,
well, I would still be supporting Arsenal as viscerally as I was when I was like 12. If Arsenal were still as good as they were when they were 12,
but you're not, and they're never going to be anymore, because unless Usmanov sells or buys and they pump in billions, but then
maybe that's representative of the Premier League as a whole.
Schmidt stays focused on the performance. This is Jay Thorney's report from the Autumn Series, where Ireland absolutely annihilated South Africa. Ireland persevere with pain game to keep hopes alive. This is the self-flagellation. It's like, it's really hard. We're never going to win these games easy. I mean, there was that one time when we drew Estonia in the playoffs for the Euros, but like, Denmark's slightly better than Estonia. Ireland failed to keep track with daring Australian tactics. That was the international rules. Owen got up for the international rules because, you know, he's on that early clock now.
Yeah, just trying to get the bio clock in action before the week. We'll go to the Irish Examiner. The front of the sports section there says Russian roulette. It's a picture of Martin O'Neill and Uga Harada there. O'Neill says Ireland may need to strike twice. And then the other little bit of a subhead there is unlucky North bow out, of course. That penalty last week ended up being the goal that was converted that knocks them out of the World Cup playoffs. Switzerland going through to the World Cup. Also, Box Gone South, International Rules and Munster Marvels, Dr. Croaks and Nemo tee up appetising provincial decider.
O'Neill may recall Long and Myler, that's Gary Doyle's story on the back of the Times Ireland edition. So his notion is that obviously Myler comes straight back in. I think everybody would probably have expected that given his performances recently, but Shane Long might start. Maybe that's so he won't have to take a penalty after 120 minutes. It's a bit harsh. Bookmakers must accept racing bets. This is Johnny Ward, who's writing today for the Times. Bookmakers should not be allowed to refuse bets on Irish horse races, says Brian Cavanagh, the chief executive of Horse Racing Ireland. So this is if you're a good gambler, and the bookies would traditionally have kind of closed your account very early because, well, they don't want to lose any money to you. Brian Cavanagh, chief executive of Horse Racing Ireland, is going to try and make a move to stop the bookies from closing that down. One other story from the Times, from the UK edition. This is about Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton calls on Formula One chiefs to stop gun attacks. I don't know if you saw this story, but at the Brazilian Grand Prix, there were four incidents of muggings at gunpoint in Sao Paulo. Really terrifying. It sounds like they were absolutely terrifying. And the organisers had said that they would increase the police protection for all the teams involved. But they only did it when it was bright outside. So as soon as it got dark, the cops went home. Now, the thing about Brazil is that it's absolutely broke. It's been... it's in the midst of these massive corruption scandals. The Olympic Games took billions, literally billions, out of the public purse and transferred them to the pockets of wealthy property developers. As a result, a bunch of nurses, teachers, civil servants didn't get paid. Guards, cops also didn't get paid for months and months and months. So if you're a cop and your job is to cover the rich people who are there for the Formula One, then maybe when it gets dark, you're going to go home because all around you are some of the worst crime-ridden streets in the world. So Lewis Hamilton calling on the Formula One chiefs to stop the muggings in Brazil, a little bit naive, a little bit immature from Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, he's not the most worldly person in the world. We'll change to the Irish Daily Mail here. We'll bring you the back page of the Irish Daily Mail up on screen. Fear factor, Ericsson plotting fright night as Ireland look to reach Russia, and Schmidt backs his squad to continue fine form. We've also got the back page of the UK Mail this morning. Red Rose alert, Aussie threat to home rule. That's a story by Chris Foy there. And crying shame for Northern Ireland. That's Chris Brunt there in tears after they crashed out of the World Cup playoffs. We'll skip on then to the Irish Daily Star, and we'll be able to bring you the back page of that now. Real Cocky Ericsson, or was Real Cocky. Whenever I see Christian Ericsson and see the word real, I always think Real, like due to the links with Real Madrid. Potentially that's what they're going for. I'll give the story a little bit of a read. Ericsson and Irish will be scared if we score.
For the first time.
Winning in Dublin will be better than beating Madrid. So it is Real
Cocky. There you
go, there you go. So we sussed that one. That is the back of the Irish Daily Star. They've also got Rules Future in Doubt. That's Carlo Kane there. Reporting that the international rules may be no more. And to be honest with you, I may be the only person who actually cares about that if that happens.
Fright Club, Ericsson, Ireland cannot afford to let us score. This is the notion that, you know, what's going to happen? Hey, there we go again. that if Denmark score, they're going to go through. Christian Eriksen, he's good with the maths, unlike a lot of football commentators who don't really understand the away goals rule. But that's the main story there. And then for Evan's sake, that Johnny Evans' late chance to tie it up against the Swiss in the World Cup qualifier playoff that Northern Ireland were beaten in.
I think we can bring you the back page of the UK Mirror as well now. There you are, stress rehearsal and safe hands are the two ones there. That is Joe Hart and Kieran Trippier there.
Oh, the stress rehearsal. So this is the genius idea that Gareth Southgate has to have a penalty shootout at Wembley practice.
Is Wembley going to be full?
Yeah, so I think they're going to do it like before friendly internationals, or maybe after friendly internationals. So they'll get people, they'll fill the ground and they'll try and get some tension and their practice so that when they get to the World Cup quarterfinals against a good team, they don't automatically bottle it.
Like, what's the tension going to be? Are they going to like sacrifice a lamb or something, that there's going to be some consequence if they miss their penalty?
There has to be some way to do it.
But like, there is no stress. The stadium playing in front of 80,000 people or 90,000 people in Wembley is not
10 grand a man. 20 grand a man?
Maybe, yeah.
100 grand a man.
That might be the way to do it.
Like, for like one of those players who hasn't actually made 100 grand yet.
It's not, yeah. Really, well,
who isn't on 100 grand a week yet.
There's literally none of them in the England squad.
Jack Butland, maybe?
Potentially. Or Ruben Loftus-Cheek. No, he's definitely made 100 grand in his career. We'll go to the Sun, the back page.
I mean a week. 100 grand a week. But
oh, there we go, yeah. Put me on the spot. Darren set to kick on. That's Darren Randolph there on the back page of the Sun. And they give a preview of their gold section there in the Sun with the headline of that being Beans Means Wines. Danes can't open us up. That is, of course, I think it was Thomas Delaney speaking the other day saying the Irish defence is like opening a tin of beans with your hands, which is a pretty good reference, actually. A pretty good analogy. We'll bring you the back of the UK Sun now as well. Heart, glove, triangle. Gareth, he faces fight to be number one. And shootout plan, we'll see that story as well at the top right there, at the back page of the UK Sun.
Yeah, onto the Guardian, it's pretty much exactly the same thing. They're leading with a crisis in British gymnastics, which I don't think anybody's that interested in here. And they also have the story there. Danny Taylor has the on the bottom. Southgate plans Wembley shootout practice in bid to end penalty pain.
And second last, the front page of the Telegraph sports section. I think it's a picture of Northern Ireland. Indeed it is. End of the world for O'Neill's men. Irish manager future in doubt as Swiss shatter Russia 2018 dream. We've also got brilliant in Brazil. Hamilton delivers drive of his life. And Jones warned Australia could tear us apart.
Then the final story for our final page for now. It's Tasty Apples. Elliot star hurdler Apples Jade shines at Navan. This is Gordon Elliott's Apples Jade. Back in good form at Navan, and on the back page they have final hurdle, and they reckon Gigi Buffon is going to be okay to go through to the World Cup in Russia. Italy 1-0 down against Sweden after the game in Stockholm on Friday, but they think that Italy are actually going to go through on the night, and they accurately predicted that West Ham were going to beat Spurs in the League Cup last week. So who the hell am I to think that's never going to happen?
I know they're on a roll, the Racing Post at the moment.
Yeah, right. We have to move on because we spent way too long talking about the Ireland team, but if you've got something that you want to share with us, you can tweet us here at Off The Ball, or you can get us on facebook.com/Off The Ball. We are live there as well.
You've been listening to a highlights podcast from OTBAM. If you want to watch us live, we're on Facebook, Twitter and YouTube every morning from 7:45 a.m.